Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Nun Hey. We will begin on Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Teach us the Mishnah Hanoider Min Adogon. If somebody makes another that he won't benefit from Dogon. Dogon is basically anything that could be turned into a flower. Teach us the Mishnah Also Bepul Hamitzri Yovesh. He may not benefit Divrei Rameya, according to Rameya, not only from regular flour, from grain, but he may not benefit from a wheat, from a bean flour. Mefarshim point out that the Mishnah mentions Pul HaMitzri because yesterday we discussed in the Shir Pul HaMitzri. It's also interesting to note that I saw from the Shorim Tzion Ba'alocha that he says that even though our Mishnah, even according to Rameya, who is the Machmer, and says the Dogon not only includes grain, but also includes bean flour. Rameya doesn't put in something like potatoes, even though there were no potatoes then, because as the Shem Tzion Baloch explains, potato flour is very different than bean flour. Bean flour is processed similarly as grain flour is processed, and therefore Rameya holds that bean flour and regular flour should all be in the category of Dogon, whereas he explains potato starch is processed in an entirely different manner. And therefore he says even the communities, the Ashkenazi communities, during Pesach do not use kidneys, and therefore because they don't use kidneys, they don't use the flours of kidneys, the corn flour, etc. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we don't use kidneys is because the flour, which is similar, can be made from those beans as can be made from regular grain, which is obviously chametz. Potato starch, he says, is very different, and it's processed differently, and therefore even people who don't eat kidneys may eat potato starch. When one uses the word dogon, it only means the chamesha saminim. Rameya continues to say, if somebody made another that he won't benefit from grain, the halach is, ena os el mechamishas haminim. The only thing that he may not have is chamishas haminim. Aval hanoidim and adogon, says Rameya, os bekol, he may not benefit from anything. Mutabet peres, any type of flour, as we said at the beginning of the Mishnah. In fact, the Mefarshim ask, is Rameya just repeating himself when he says the halach about adogon? We already spoke at the beginning of the Mishnah. Rameya says that dogon includes all types of flowers, and the Mefarshim explain what the Mishnah is trying to indicate to us is that there is only one machloikis in our Mishnah, and that's only regarding Dogon. There is no machloikis regarding Chameshes Aminim, regarding Tfuah. But he may, even according to Rameya, if you now want to have Dogon, he still may have fruits and vegetables. Ask the Gemara. Remember the Dogon called the Midgan Mashma. Ask the Gemara, according to Rameya, the word Dogon includes anything that's made into a granary, into a flour. Masiv Rav Yosef, ask Rav Yosef, the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, that in time of Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, there was, Klai Yisrael became weakened, as most Mefarshim explain, in giving Trumas and Maestris properly. And Chizkiyahu wanted to strengthen them. That's how most Mefarshim learned, although I did see that the Chassam Sofer says they had become weak in the mitzvah of Bikurim. So what the Pasuk says is, Ukfroitz Hadarva, Hira B'nai Yisrael, Klai Yisrael started giving more, Reishis Dog and Tiris V'Yitzah, the Kol Tfuas Hasada, said the Leroyv. They started giving in abundance what they were supposed to. Here the Pasuk clearly has Dogon as one item, and Tfuas HaSada as another item. Now the Gemara's question is, if Rameya is correct that Dogon includes all types of Tfuah, so why does the Pasuk say both the word Dogon and Tfuas HaSada? The Pasuk by saying Dogon is already including all types of Tfuah. And as the Mefarshim explained, what's the Gemara's Kasha? We've been discussing, that's been the subject of the last number of Dafim, that B'Nedarim, Holchem Achal Loshem Le'Adam, In the Dharma, we follow the usage, the way people use the word. So just because the Torah doesn't say that Dagon includes all types of Tvua, as the Mefarshim, that doesn't mean that in Lashem Bnei Adam, which Ramey is referring to, which is what we follow when we say in the Dharim, it does refer to all types of Dagon. Answer the Mefarshim, and we've said this concept previously, that the Gemara is quoting a pasuk from Divrei HaYomim. And although the rest of Tanakh isn't written in Lashon HaTorah, which may not be synonymous, may not be the same as Lashon Bnei Adam, Divrei HaYomim is written in Lashon Bnei Adam. It's written in the way we speak. And yet we see that the pasuk separates Dagon from Tavus Asada. So we see that Dagon does not include all types of Tavus Asada. The Amrit, Dagon called Midgan Mashma. If we say the word Dagon includes every type of granary, why do we also have to say Tavus Aretz? Mike Freud's Hadovi Hirbu answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Lasuye, Peris Ilan Bayerek. What the pasuk is coming to teach us is that not only did they give Trumas Amaisris, or Bikurim, that is whichever Peshat we learn, from grain, from something that grew from the ground, but even from fruits and vegetables, that they also give Trumas Amaisris. That's what the pasuk is coming to teach us, and that's what even is not included in Dagon, even according to Ramea. Actually, there's a machloikus rishonim. Everybody agrees the chiv to give trumas and maisers from vegetables is only midrabbanan. Everybody also seems to agree that the chiv to give trumas and maisers from fruits, but if they're fruits that are part of the shivas aminim, the seven minim that Yisrael was blessed with, that also is a chiv deraisa. The shaila is machloikus rishonim if the chiv to give maiser truma maiser from fruits that are not of the Shivas Aminim. The Rambam seems to learn that all fruits, the Chiv to give Trumas Amaisus is a Chiv Daraisa. Most Rishonim say that other fruits than the Shivas Aminim, the Chiv is only Chiv Darabonim. I also saw a very nice Shaila V'tshuva based on this Gemara from Chaim Kanievsky. The halacha is that in a Shemitah year, Sfichin, things that grow from the ground, vegetable, grain that grows from the ground, are also, even if you didn't plant it, even if you didn't tend to it. Svichen are also in the Shemitah year. So somebody asked of Chaim Kanievsky, how could the Jews in Eretz Yisrael daven three times a day in the Bracha Baruch Aleinu in the Shemitah year, that's kol minei svuasa, we're not allowed to eat the tefuah this year in Eretz Yisrael? So what's kol minei svuasa? So Chaim Kanievsky answered, look at our Gemara. Our Gemara says that the words tvuah sasada includes what grows from a tree. What grows from a tree is not svichin, may be eaten in the Shemitah year. So when a Jew in Eretz Yisrael is mispalel, that's kamein esvasa, he's davening for the fruit of the trees, which may be eaten in the Shemitah year. Continues the Gemara, Ramei Omer hanoidim in a tvuah. That if somebody makes a nedim in a tvuah, even he agreed to only include the chamesh saminim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakam Moedim, Benoedim in a Tfuah, that if somebody made a nether that he won't benefit from Tfuah, She'ena os el mechamisha saminim. He's only osa from the chamisha saminim. Tanya nami hochi, and so too do we learn in a Braisa, Shavin Benoedim in a Tfuah, everybody agrees that if somebody made a nether that he won't benefit from Tfuah, She'ena os el mechamisha saminim. So I saw that the Rishonim asked, why do we need Rabbi Yochanan to tell us this thing? The Braisa to tell us this din, the Mishnah is very explicit that there's no machloikis, chachamim and rameyer on this din. So it's obvious that that's the din. So I saw two terutzim. The Ritva answers that perhaps we would think the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Rameyer is disagreeing with the chachamim, both by Dagon and by Tfuah. And the way to understand the Mishnah is that Rameyer is saying to the chachamim, even if you're going to argue with me regarding Tfuah, at least agree with me regarding Tfuah, regarding Dagon, meaning I hold that both Tfuah and Dagon includes all Minim. I'm at least asking you that you should agree with me regarding Dagon. Teaches us the Gemara that no, that's not the way to learn the Mishnah. And the way to understand the Mishnah is that Rameyah holds that anything that grows, that Tfuah, he too agrees, is only from the Chamesh Aminim. That's the way the Ritva explains the Gemara. The Rosh has just the opposite explanation of the Gemara. The Rosh explains that if we didn't have the Gemara that we're just learning, we would think like this. Regarding Dagon, there's a machloikus Ramei the Chachamim. with Rav Meir having a very broad explanation of Dagon that includes everything, and Chachamim being more limited, Chamesh Haminim. Maybe by Tfuah, we'll say just the opposite, we would think, says the Rosh. And by Tfuah, Rav Meir will say that Tfuah only includes the Chamesh Haminim, and Rabbanon hold that Tfuah includes everything. In order not to make that error, teaches us the Gemara that regarding Tfuah, there is no Machlaikas. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, Maritema, Tfuah kom mili mashma. Ask the Gemara, why would I think that Tfuah means anything besides the Chamesh Haminim? Kamashmon, Deloy mashma kom mili. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that it doesn't include everything? Masar Rav Yosef, Ukufreitz Hadover, Hibu, B'nei Yisrael, Tfuah Sasada. And we said Tfuah Sasada includes everything. So how, ask the Gemara, based on the passage that we just quoted in the previous Gemara, do we indeed say that Tfuah includes only the Chamesh Haminim? From that pasuk, it seems that Tfuah includes everything. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rava, Tfuah L'chud and Tfuah Sasada L'chud. There are two separate categories. And as the Shittim HaKubetzis explains the Gemara, when we use the word Tfuah only means the Chamesh Haminim. But look at that pasuk, says the Shita. The pasuk says the words Tfuah Sasada. Why did the Pasuk have to call it Tfuah Sasada? It's called Tfuah. What does it say Tfuah Sasada? To teach us when we use the words Tfuah Sasada, that's when it has a broader application, and that's when it includes all the Minim. But Tfuah itself, everyone agrees, is only the Chamesh Haminim. Mar Bar Shmuel, says the Gemara, Mar Bar Shmuel pocketed the list in Tleisa Alfi Zuzal Rava. Mar Bar Shmuel left a will that Rava should receive 13,000 Zuz, min alalta denar panya, from the state of, from the alalta, and we're going to focus on the word alalta that he left in this area called nahar panya. Sholcha Rav l'kameid Rav Yosef. So Rav sends a shayla to Rav Yosef. Alalta heichim ikarya. What is considered alalta? Because I'm entitled to take money from the alalta, but what is alalta? I'm Rav Yosef. Misnisen he. The answer to your question lays in our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, "V'shavim benoidim na tfuah," that when somebody says tfuah, she'enos el mechamesh haminim, it only means the chamesh haminim. Amay abaya, mi dami. How does our Mishnah answer the question? Tfuah, yes, the word tfuah loy mashma el mechamesh haminim is limited, as we've been explaining, only to the chamesh haminim. However, alalta komili mashma. Alalta is much broader explanation, and it's not limited to the Chamesh Haminim. Hudrula kamei de Rava. So the question went back to Rava. And Rava said, there is no question in my mind that Lalta komili mashma. That Lalta, the word Lalta means income, profit, and includes everything. Hadu di Baili. Well, my question is, says Rava, Schabatim schasinois. Shmuel left over boats and homes, and they were rented out. And the question is, are they included in the word alalta, in the word profit? Mi aminin kim the pachsin. Since these are items that depreciate, homes depreciate, ships depreciate, they can't be called lav alalta because they're not pure profit, because there's an element of depreciation in them. Aydilma kim de la yada pachsayu. When a home or a ship depreciates, they're not really noticeable, that depreciation. Alaltahu. That's considered alalta. Amru Rabbanon kamei Rav Yosef. So Rabbanon repeated this conversation to Rav Yosef. Omar, and Rav Yosef's comment was, V'chimi acher deloy tzorochlon amai sholochlon. What he said was that alalta, I know, means everything. My only question is this specific one question. Does it include the rent of homes and boats? So Rabbi Yosef was upset why Rava was sending him shailas that he really knew the answer to. Ikbid Rab, again, the Gemara says, Ikbid Rab, Amru Rabbanan Kamed Rabbi Yosef. This conversation that took place between Rava and Abayi was repeated to Rabbi Yosef. And Rabbi Yosef's comment was, v'chi me'achad lo tzarchlan, if Rava knows the answer to the most of the shayla, amay shalachlan, why did he ask us questions? And therefore, ikbid Rabbi Yosef was somewhat upset. Shama Rava, and Rava hears that Rabbi Yosef is upset. V'asal kameh b'malah d'yom kippuri. So he comes to see him in Erev Yom Kippur, and as the Gemara says, this is one of the Gemaras that proves to us that even though we know Yom Kippur is mechaper on Averis ben Adam l'makom, Averis ben Adam l'chaveroi, Yom Kippur can't help until we ask and try to make peace with our chaver. And he went to ask them on Erev Yom Kippur. Achkechel shamei to kamoz the kasa the chamri, and he found Reb Yosef Shamis pouring for him a cup of wine. And as Mefarshim explained, as we'll see in the Gemara, Rava was a very big expert, as the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, in wine dilution. I also saw from the Sefer Rosh Golos Ariel, what is the intent with the Gemara meaning that he was pouring wine, diluting wine? We know when you dilute wine, there are two ingredients. There's wine and water. What Rava was saying to Rabbi Yosef is that I want to be your Talmud. I want to learn from you wine and water. There are two parts to Torah. There's the halacha, which is compared to water, and there's the agada, that's compared to wine, sweet. So he says, I want to be your Talmud. And the Ben Yoyada goes further on to explain. As we're going to say in a moment, Rava had a special way, a unique way, of diluting wine. He wanted to see if Rabbi Yosef was still thinking about him. If Rabbi Yosef would recognize the way he dilutes the wine, that means Rabbi Yosef is still thinking about him, and that means they could still be his Talmud, they could still learn from him. On the other hand, if Rabbi Yosef won't even recognize his Meziga, that means Rabbi Yosef is no longer thinking about him, and therefore he's in much bigger trouble. So Rava tells the Shamis, Amma Havli the Amzigle, could you let me please dilute the wine? The Amzigle Anna. So Yavlava Kamazik, I Kasa the Hamra. So the Shamis allowed Rava to do this dilution. Kikashasi, as Rabbi Yosef begins drinking the wine, Amma Hadei Mizga, Damala Mizga the Rava Bered Rabbi Yosef Bechama. He recognized that this was the special way Rava would dilute the wine, as the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, three parts water and one part wine. Amalei huniu. So Rava says, yes, it's me. Amalei loitesev akarech. Don't sit down. Ad amrli perusha dahidein milsa. Until you explain to me the following pasuk. Maidiksev, it says in the pasuk, umimidba matana, umatana nachliel, umnachliel bomis. And the question with this pasuk is that this pasuk, which seemingly speaks about different places Klal Yisrael encamped in the Midbar, doesn't appear in Parashas Maaseh. So were they in these places or not? So he says what the pasuk is coming to teach us is how a person who wants to succeed in learning Torah is supposed to act. Kivin sha'osa adam's atzma k'midbar. Once a person acts like a Midbar, shumufku lakol, that he's available for everybody, that everybody, he doesn't hold himself great, he holds himself humble. Torah nitn lo b'matana. The Torah is given to him like a matana. And the Mefarshim say, look how deep the anova, the modesty has to be. There's earth in the city, and there's earth in the Midbar. The earth in the Midbar is less valuable than the earth in the city. Because in the city, you could plant something. In the Midbar, in a desert, the earth is meaningless. A person has to be at the highest level of modesty, totally humble. Shenema midma matana. Vekim and shenitna lava matana. Once a person receives Torah matana, nachlokel, becomes the Yerusha from Hashem. Shenema umatana nachliel. Vekim and shenachlokel, once he receives this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oylo l'gdula, he will go very high up. Shenema umnachnia bomas. Bomas means a high place. However, if a person acts with gaiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpiloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let him succeed in learning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will humble him. Shenama mebama is hagai. Hagai means a valley. V'loyed el sheshoykin oisa b'karka. He will be sunk into the ground. Shnemav nishkafa pnei yishimon. Nishkafa is like the mashkoif, the step that we stand on to enter a house. However, if the person recognizing that acting without humility prevents him from succeeding in learning, magbiyoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbiyu, shnema kogei yinosei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will raise up the valley. And there's a number of the Torah to say in this Gemara. One, Mefarshim point out, what is the Gemara teaching us? The Gemara is teaching us, gvaldik, that a person, we're saying, has to have the trait of humility to succeed in learning. But we would think that that trait of humility is required. Once you lose it, once you are arrogant, you can never succeed. Teaches us the Gemara how wonderful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to us. That even if a person didn't always act modestly, and he acted with arrogance, if he turns his ways around, he can succeed. Mefarshim also explained that this is a very simple concept. In order to succeed in learning, one has to have siyata d'shmaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives siyata d'shmaya to people in their learning if they're modest. And that's exactly what the Mefarshim go on to say, Rabbi Yosef was saying to Rava. Because if you look in the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef said to Rava, Loitesev akarach ad amrit li. Why does Rabbi Yosef add the words ad amrit li? Explain the Mefarshim. Rabbi Yosef was saying, I also need to learn this lesson. Ad amrit li, I also need to learn the lesson that humility is crucial to success in learning. And Rabbi Yosef indeed was successful in his learning. As we know, the Gemara calls Rabbi Yosef the Sinai, the one that was the tremendous Baki, had tremendous knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula. And then Mefarshim go on to explain that's what he used the words, Loitesev Akarech. What did he mean with the words Akarech on your legs? So one pshat that the Mefarshim say is just like we know the Gemara many times says, Bro, Karu Davua, a son is the legs of his father. So too are Talmidim considered like children of their Rebbe. And what Rabbi Yosef was saying to him was, in order for you to be my child, this, and you want to be my Talmud, you want to be my son, you have to inculcate this lesson of humility. But another pshat is, Akarech represents the type of learning that represents Bikiyus, which we just said a moment ago was Rabbi Yosef's hallmark. And what he was saying was, Akarech, if you want to walk, if you want to accomplish, you want to amass a lot of learning and be a baki, b'tayra, you have to have this trait of modesty. But I saw from the Gra and from the Bnei Yisachar that this lesson is not only a lesson for the Lomdei Torah, for the people that sit and learn Torah, but the Pasuk is also speaking to the people who are the Tomchei Torah, the supporters of Torah. Because far too many times, people who support those that learn begin to believe that this person, this yeshiva, these people are learning because of me. And that's not the way to have the schar for supporting Torah. The schar for supporting Torah comes with modesty. Comes not for a person holding himself great for what he's done, but saying, wow, what a wonderful opportunity I had to help people learn Torah. I haven't reached that madrega, but Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the ability to help. We'll just end with a vart, we'll end this piece of Gemara, with a vart from the Kedushas Tzion. It says in Pirkei Avos, Kol HaBereach Achar HaKavod, whoever runs after Kavod, whoever is trying to receive Kavod, HaKavod Bereach Mimenu, well, the Kavod eludes him. It says the Kedushas Tzion, if you look at the letters in the Alabes before Kavod, the letters are Hagai, what the Gemara just quoted, a valley. Kol HaBereach Achar HaKavod, if somebody tries to attain Kavod, HaKavod Bereach Mimenu, he's left with Hagai, he's left with the letters before Kavod, that he's left low, he's left in a valley, he doesn't have the opportunity to grow up. Continues the Gemara. Hanoidim Nadogen, Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Hanoidim Nadogen, if somebody makes an edit, he won't benefit from Dogen. Also, the Pula Mitzvah Yavish, he may not have the dry Pula Mitzvah, however, Mutta Balach, he may have the moist one. Umutta ba'iris, he's allowed to have rice, the chilka b'targus or b'tisni. These are different types of wheat kernels that are chopped into pieces. They're not considered dogen. although I did receive the Rishonim make a very important point. He says, they say as follows. Let's say I make a neder, I'm not going to benefit from Dagon. And at this point, these wheat kernels are still whole. And then later on, they're chopped up. Since when I made the neder, they were whole, the neder was already effective on them, and they can no longer become permitted. When the Gemara says that Hanoidim and Adogan may partake of these foods, is that when I made the neder, they weren't yet chopped up. Hanoidim and Peres Hashana, continues the Gemara, if somebody makes a neder, they won't have Hanof from fruits to grow this year. Also, because Peres Hashana, he may not eat anything that grows this year. However, Mutab Gdoyim, Betloyim, sheep and lamb, Cholav is milk, Bayim are eggs, Goizlois are chicks. If he ever used the word gedulei shana, then also bekulin, he may not participate in any, have any of these foods. Says the Ran, since the word gedulei shana, our Bryce is teaching us, is so broad definition, such a nether cannot be made open-ended because you can't survive without eating anything. Continues the Bryce, hanoidim in a peiris aretz, if somebody made a nether, he won't participate from peiris aretz, is the halacha. He may not eat anything that grows from the ground. However, he may have mushrooms and truffles. However, if he uses instead the words gedulei karka, then he may not even eat mushrooms and truffles. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that kamei and pitrius are included in the category of gedulei karka? It says in the Gemara Masechta Brachos, al davash ein gedulim and aretz, something that doesn't grow from the ground. Oimer shahakel niya b'dvari. V'tanya, and we learn in the Brisa there Masechta Brachos, al melech v'azamis, which is salt and salt water, val kamein and pitrius, which are mushrooms and truffles. Oimer shahakel niya b'dvari. So we see that they don't grow from the ground. So why ask the Gemara if somebody made a nether that he's not going to benefit from gedulei aretz, are kamein and pitrius included in the nether? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Mirbu Rav Mi'ara. They do receive their nourishment from the ground. However, Menik Mi'avir Yanki V'loi Mi'ara. They, as the Mefarshim explained, there are two ways, everything that grows needs to get nourishment, nutrients from the ground. But most things need to have a direct connection to the ground to receive that nourishment. Mushrooms don't have to have that direct connection. The nutrients that are in the ground can seep into them even when they're not directly on the ground. So this doesn't grow from the ground. It only nourishes from the ground. So why are mushrooms, again, included in gedulei aretz? And says the Gemara, Tana Dovish Sheni Yonik Min Aretz. What he meant was that anything that doesn't nourish from the ground. And mushrooms, as we're saying, do indeed nourish from the ground, even if they don't actually directly grow from the ground. And that's the halacha. The halacha is that our mushrooms, since they don't necessarily grow directly from the ground, they just need the nutrients of the ground. We don't make a bairi pri adama. We make a shahakal. Although the halacha also is that if one by mistake made a bairi pri adama instead of shahakal, his mekayim a bracha. Rav Ozner, in the Shalos Teshuvos Shevet Alevi, also says, let's say, which is very common, someone will decide to grow mushrooms directly from the ground. It's still, you don't make a bari pri adama. Since our Gemara identifies this as a min, as a species that doesn't have to grow from the ground, doesn't have to be directly planted into the ground, even the ones that do grow from the ground, we don't make a bari pri adama. The Prima Gadim goes on to say that in something that grows from the ground, the Prima Gadim goes on to say that in something that doesn't grow from the ground, the Kamein of Pitrius, we don't make a Shechianu. We know if you don't eat a fruit or vegetable, you make a Shechianu. He says not on mushrooms. There are also Tshuva from Rav Moshe that discusses, we know that fruits and vegetables that grow from the ground, there's a very strong Isser if they have shrotzim, if they have infestation, and we have to be very careful not to eat such produce that may have infestation. Says Rav Moshe, that even though our Gemara is clearly teaching us that mushrooms are not considered a species that grow directly from the ground, they're only yoinik min aretz, the halacha of sheretz aretz, the halacha of shrotzim that are involved in vegetables that grow from the ground, do apply to mushrooms. And as we know, mushrooms can actually be very infested and need to be carefully washed and checked that they are not infested before one eats them. There's also interesting shaila that I saw from the Menches Yitzchak. In a Shemitah year, what's the halacha? May one plant kamein and pitrius? Are they considered something that grows from the ground? And as we know, in the Shemitah year, you can't plant or tend to something that grows from the ground or not. So the Menches Yitzchak says, going back to something that we discussed earlier in our shir, the din of svichim, the din that vegetables or grain that grow by themselves from the ground still may not be eaten the Shemitah year, do not apply to mushrooms, if there are such mushrooms that grow wild and by themselves in Eretz Yisrael. However, one should not plant mushrooms and truffles in the Shemitah year. Says the Mishnah, Hanoidim Nexus, if somebody makes a neder that he won't have Hanor from clothing, Mutta Besak Ubiriya B'chamila. These are different types of garments that are made out of sackcloth, coarse material, that are not used for clothing. If somebody makes a neder that he won't have hanor from wool, so even though he just made a very broad statement that he will not have hanor from wool, the halacha is mutar l'skasis b'gizei tzemer. He may put on wool shearing. Because even though he used the word wool, we understand that all he really means is not to wear wool clothing, but just to put on himself shearings of wool would be mutter. And the same, if somebody made a nether, koinem apishtem ola alai, that he's not going to wear linen, mutter laskasis benitzi pishtem, he's allowed to put on linen shearings, even though he's not allowed to wear linen clothing. Rabbi Yehuda makes a very important statement. He says, when one makes a nether, we have to look at the circumstances. What does that mean? Torn vizier. Somebody's carrying wool. Somebody's carrying linen. And he's perspiring. It's very heavy. For yerecha kasha. And there's an odor. Either, as the Rishonim say, the odor is coming out from the wool or linen, or the odor is coming from the perspiration of the person who's carrying this heavy load. And omar koinem tsemro pishtan olalai. He says, I'm not going to benefit from wool or linen. It's obvious that his intent is not to wear wool or linen clothing. Rather, his intent is not to carry wool or linen. And therefore, the halacha is, mutar l'skasos, he may wear wool or linen clothing. However, v'asa l'havshel acharav, he may not carry these materials because he made a nether, which clearly we see what he meant with his nether was, that he doesn't want to have to carry these materials. Says the Gemara, Tanya Anoidim Nexus, if somebody made a neder that he's not going to wear certain garments, Mutar Besak Ubiriya B'chamila, he's allowed to wear garments made out of this coarse materials, that they're not really considered clothing. Huesav B'punda, punda is like a money belt, it's a hollow belt that they used to put their money into. B'faskia is like a Y type of belt. U'B'sakarta U'B'katavlia, these are different types of leather shirts and coat and jackets. Vampalia, uplanya, these are leather sacks and shoes. Umenchasna v'koyva, mechnasayim v'koyva, hat and pants. Pants and hat. Maya skurta, ask the Gemara what is a skurti. Omer rabba babachana, kituna detzala, a leather shirt. Tanya, continues the Gemara, yoitzin, on Shabbos one may wear, sack ava, a thick sack cloth. Viscus ava is also a type of a sack material, but not a thick sack. Ubiria ubechamila, these different types of clothing with ne'ag shamim, because it's raining and you're wearing this to protect yourself. Ava loy b'teva v'loy b'kupa, a person now will put on his head a box or a basket, v'loy mechtzelus or a mat with ne'ag shamim, because they're not really items of clothing. Haroyim, shepherds, yoitzim b'sakim, may wear these sack garments, even on Shabbos, v'loy roim b'levad, not only shepherds, al kol odom, everyone, al shedibur cham b'chayva, usually people don't wear these kind of clothing besides the roim. So as the Paiskim explain, what is the halach on Shabbos? The halach on Shabbos goes as follows. A malbush, a garment, clothing, one may wear on Shabbos. Masui, one may not wear on Shabbos. And therefore, when our Gemara says about the backs and the hat and the basket, they're clearly not considered items of clothing. They're not considered garments, and that's why they may not be worn on Shabbos. Now the question comes on, all right, it is clothing. Is that always going to be mutru or not? So the Ramah says, it depends why you're wearing it. If you're wearing this article of clothing to protect yourself from the elements, from the rain, then that's considered clothing. So that's why everybody agrees that you're allowed to wear a raincoat. Why does somebody wear a raincoat in the rain? To protect himself from the rain. But if you're only wearing the clothing, not to protect yourself, but just to protect your clothing, that's called a tsule tinuf and may not be worn on Shabbos. And where the question comes up most frequently is if one wears a hat and it's raining on Shabbos and he lives in a place where there is no Erev, may he wear a hat cover? Is the purpose of the hat cover to protect the hat and that's not mutter? Or is the purpose of the hat cover to protect you, that you shouldn't get wet, which is like a raincoat? Rav Moshe says that if the hat cover just fits snugly around the hat, so it's obvious that it's here just to protect the hat, not to protect you, and therefore, says Rav Moshe, in a place where there's no air, you're not allowed to wear a hat cover. And so too was the opinion of the Satmar Rebbe. The Klausenberger Rebbe, the Chelkis Yaakov, disagree, and they say that hat covers are here also to protect the person, that the hat shouldn't get wet, and ultimately he shouldn't get wet. Rav Moshe therefore clearly says that let's say you're not wearing just a hat cover, which fits snugly around the hat, but like you're wearing more like a hood, which protects the hat, but also protects you, that would be mutter. I also saw another svara from the Shar Metzion Balocha, why one would be allowed to wear a hat cover. He says, interesting svara. He says as follows. In the summer, if one is wearing a straw hat, not a felt hat, certainly the hat cover is there to protect the person, not just the hat. Because since the straw hat is not made out of felt material, it has holes in it, so if a person's going to wear such a hat, he's going to get wet. The rain will penetrate the hat. So when he's wearing the hat cover, it's clearly to protect himself. So in the summer, he's certainly allowed to wear a hat cover. Says Shem Tzem Balocha, once the hat cover has been categorized and identified as a garment, as an article of clothing to protect you in the summer, you can't have a piece of clothing that's sometimes this way and sometimes that way. And once it's an article of clothing in the summer, it also remains an article of clothing in the winter and may be worn on Shabbos, even in a place where there's no Erev. So what we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hakol Lefi HaNeder, we have to look at the circumstances of the neder before we decide if this is a valid, what the neder means. Tanya, Ketzer Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Hakol Lefi HaNeder, what did Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says that we have to look at the circumstances? Hoya Lovish Semer, if somebody's wearing a wool suit, the Heitzar, and the two Pshatim, the Rishon of a Heitzar, that he's in discomfort. One is because the wool suit is just uncomfortable because it's too heavy, it's a hot day. Or another Pshat, the Heitzar, is that the wool suit is too small on him, and he's uncomfortable. And then he makes the following declaration, it's obvious what he meant was that he doesn't want to wear wool clothing. Also, Lobash, he wouldn't be allowed to wear wool clothing. However, Mutalutin, he'd be allowed to carry wool clothing. On the other hand, how you Tom Pishton, let's say somebody's carrying linen, Vizia, and he's perspiring because it's a heavy load. And he then says, Koidim Pishtim Oilolai. It's obvious that his intent is not as wearing a garment, but what he means is that he doesn't want to have to carry this heavy load. He would be Mutalilbash, he would be allowed to wear wool or linen clothing. However, Vasilitoin, he would not be allowed to carry these garments because that's obvious the intent of his nether.